I'm Grandma Thelma. I'm Lily's grandma. And I teach at several different schools, private schools that are used by homeschoolers who need classes outside of home once they get to junior high and high school. So I do a lot of teaching. I do a lot of PowerPoint. And I enjoy what I do. But before I started teaching, I worked for 10 years in a bridal salon. And in that bridal salon, I altered thousands of wedding dresses, and I made about a dozen bridal gowns. So most of the people in my family, I made all of their dresses. So I know a lot about fabric. And what we call fabric, sometimes we call it cloth. Some people who don't know what to call it material. It's not material. It's cloth, or it is fabric. But overall, these things are called textiles. Generally, we as women really love textiles. Somebody walked in the class today and looked at this and said, oh, it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? To a man, this might just look like a big mess. To a woman, this looks like a place to go explore and start making decisions about all the things that you could make, right? Isn't that what you're feeling? All the things you could make if you had access to all of these textiles? I'll try and answer questions if I can. If you have a question, please raise your hand first and then we'll move forward. All right, what does textile mean? Your badge is called a textile badge. What does it mean?
Textile means a cloth by any kind of that is made.
Right, that is a textile. That's a textile. It's a cloth or it's another good, another item. And it's something that's produced by weaving, knitting, or felting. You've seen felt, but there are other types of felting. There are cloths that are made from felting. Your mother or grandma might have a wool felted coat that is felted. Thread, fiber, yarn, those are all textiles. The textile industry is the production of that cloth, of knits, and of yarn items. So this store would be a textile store. And in the olden days, that's what the sign would have said. Now it usually says Joanne's Fabrics or Michael's Craft Store. But in the old days, it would have said textiles for sale. Textiles are made from either natural or synthetic yarns and threads. Do you know the difference between natural and synthetic?
What is synthetic?
Synthetic means artificial, man-made, fake. Natural means something that we find on God's green earth. And so it comes, for example, this is very natural. This sheep, this horned sheep, is having all of his wool removed by being sheared. And he's glad to get rid of it because it's very heavy and makes him very hot. But the people who are shearing him are very happy to shear him, except it's filthy. So yarns and threads, they're all made from fibers. Where do we get the fibers? Fibers come from both natural and synthetic sources. So these are wool. This is wool from the sheep, but they're going to be spun into fibers. This man is doing it by hand with some shears. Sheep are sheared either with scissors, old-fashioned by hand, or with electronic clippers to get their wool. The sheep usually enjoy it unless it's someone's first time, and then they might accidentally snip them or something and make the sheep upset. But the idea is to shear the sheep as close as you can, but not injure them. Because if you shear the sheep and you leave part of it behind, you just wasted part of it, didn't you? And you didn't give him a nice summer lightweight coat so that he can be more comfortable. The wool, so what we shear from the sheep is called wool. It has to get washed. If you had a small mini farm and you just have a few sheep and you shear them yourself, you can wash the wool in your washing machine. And it is filthy, isn't it? Because what do sheep do? What do sheep do when you drive by and you see them? Yes.
They
sleep. Yes, they're not very clean. They're not very clean. In fact, a lot of times sheep have a little surgery and have their tails shortened because they're so unclean. They don't understand how to lift their tails. And so they get their tails shortened so that they can be cleaner. And then you're not washing their excrement out of the wool. So this wool is getting washed. This wool, sometimes we use fancy words. Rather than say poop, we might say excrement. Excrement, or we might say feces. And that's what they'll put on the news instead of saying poop. The wool then, what happens to that wool? It gets cleaned. You can tell this wool is clean. It gets carded. Have you seen your mother do pulled pork or pulled chicken with two forks? Take the cooked pork or the cooked chicken, and she does that. She's carding that meat. That's what it's called. These are just like those forks or combs, and the wool gets carded, and that separates all of those fibers. After they card it, then they spin it. Have you ever seen anyone on an old-fashioned spinning wheel? Spinning the wool.
I saw a kid, and he brought the spinning wheel with sheep wool.
Yes, I actually have friends who have spinning wheels. Do you know anyone with a spinning wheel?
I've been to a farm and they had a spinning wheel and they were trying to make sure it would go.
Yes, they have to pull a little tiny bit at a time, don't they? And pump it with their foot like an old-fashioned sewing machine. So this wool has been spun and now it's made into hanks. And it's ready to either knit or weave this wool. Now, thicker hanks is what we call yarn. This turns into wool yarn for knitting and crocheting. And thinner yarn, which becomes thread. If it's really thin, it's thread, isn't it? That can be woven into garments. Another natural fiber is cotton. Cotton is a natural fiber. This is a cotton field, and the cotton is being picked by hand. This is a machine that's picking the cotton. Yes?
I made something out of string.
Out of cotton string?
No, not cotton string, but
wool? Out of wool yarn? A Christmas ornament. If you have string and it's white at your house, it's probably made out of cotton fibers. How many of you have studied American history and you learned about Eli Whitney inventing the cotton gin? Have you heard of Eli Whitney? The man who invented the cotton gin. Imagine how much work that saves to have this machine drive through the field and not have to pick cotton. Yes. Your brother's name is Eli. It's a good name. So these people are picking cotton. They look pretty happy. But if you go back far enough in American history, in the Deep South, you get into slavery, and slaves picked cotton. It takes a long time to pick cotton. And a basket of cotton wouldn't be very heavy, but it would take a long time to pick cotton. So it was an incredible invention. It was very much a blessing to invent the cotton gin. Yes?
The cotton gin took the cotton and pulled it apart to get all the seeds out so they didn't have to.
Yes, and do you know that after they pull the cotton out, they don't even waste the pod. That gets used for other things, and we'll come across that in a minute. What do you do with the cotton after it's picked? It's baled for sale. You've seen bales of hay. If you lived in the Deep South, you would see bales of cotton. Bales of cotton. And cotton is beautiful and white. It's been out in the sunshine. And what does sun do to something that's white, that's sitting out in the sun? Does the sun make it darker or whiter?
Whiter.
The sun bleaches it naturally. So the cotton is naturally white from being bleached. If you have a cotton item, for example, if you have a cotton blouse or a cotton skirt and it has a stain on it, you can't get the stain on it out of it, you might be able to lay it out in the sun on a hot summer day and have the sun bleach it. But it can't have any color on it because the sun will bleach that also. Then it goes to the factory, and here it is made into thread. I said by cotton gin. I think the cotton gin is what picks it. That was a typo. The cotton then is dyed and woven into cloth. So they've got the cotton. It's all white. It's beautiful white. They do tend to bleach it. Sometimes you can buy unbleached cotton, and it has natural little brown specks in it because it's been woven just the way it was picked into thread. So here is fabric being woven thread being woven into fabric. Then what do? This is how we recognize cotton. We see it rolled onto bolts. It's already been woven. It's been made into thread. It's been woven. It's been printed or dyed or batiked or something has been done to it. And then they put it on a bolt and sell it by the yard. And cotton now is about $10 a yard. It's very expensive. So you as a seamstress or a worker in textiles have to be careful how you use your fabric, don't you, so that you don't waste it, because cotton is very expensive now. Silk, another natural fiber is silk. Yes?
Silk is from a caterpillar's cocoon. before it turns into a moth.
Yes, and unfortunately, the only way to get silk is to kill the worm when he's all wrapped up in his cocoon. So you kill him when you take the silk. But it's soft, it's very shiny, it's very breathable. Natural fibers are very breathable. So many people only want to wear natural fibers because those are the fibers that absorb a little bit of perspiration, they feel nice, they breathe a little bit, they just feel good against your skin, they don't itch you. No one has ever said that cotton itched them. Wool can get itchy, but not if it's treated correctly. His cocoon, the silkworm, his cocoon gets boiled to get the silk fibers to be used, and then that's woven into silk cloth. Yes?
I actually have this cotton shirt. It's really comfy.
Yes, cotton is always very comfortable. I always prefer cotton. Always prefer cotton. Natural fiber, here is a sheet of silk, slide 12. Because of the process to make silk into cloth, it's very expensive. If you have to boil all of those silk cocoons to make the cloth, it takes a lot of silkworms to make even 1 yard of silk. And that's why silk is very expensive. Silk also feels very nice on your skin. It's not really practical, though, because it's very expensive. It's used in dresses, blouses, shirts, and lingerie, which would be nightgowns and underwear. Because it feels so nice on your skin, your mom might want a silk slip, or she might want a silk nightgown because it's slippery. And so it's nice to sleep in because you can roll around in it and it will roll around with you. It won't get stuck all over the place like perhaps flannel or something like that. Because it's a natural fiber, it breathes and it feels good against your skin. Natural fibers breathe. Silk fibers are not smooth, and so sometimes silk has nubs. Can you see the nubs? Can you tell it's not perfectly smooth? Mm-hmm. Silk usually has some little nubs. Linen, the next natural fiber is linen. Did you know that linen comes from the flax plant? Linen comes from flax. It's from a plant. It wicks water and it doesn't feel wet, so it's worn in hot, humid climates. Linen used to be the perfect fabric. Used to be considered the perfect fabric, and you could have a linen suit, a linen dress, linen pants, linen shorts. The only problem is that linen is very, very crinkly. It's very wrinkly. It has to be pressed. And it used to be that everyone had an iron and an ironing board, and they didn't mind pressing their linen, because even when you got kind of sweaty, you still felt cool. If you get sweaty wearing polyester, you feel sweaty and drippy, don't you? If you get kind of sweaty in linen, you don't feel sweaty. And it does not grow bacteria. So linen is used for kitchen towels. Expensive kitchen towels are made out of linen. It does not harbor bacteria and let bacteria grow. Linen gets carded just like wool. It gets spun just like wool. Here are the flax fibers. They get carded and into kind of a rough looking thing and then spun into yarns and then woven into fabric. And you can see these bolts even look kind of wrinkly. They're linen. Linen is very wrinkly because it's made from plant fiber. It's comfortable in hot, sweaty climates. It's perfect for your safari outfit. So a real, this is just an example of a little girl. It's probably mostly polyester. But a real, if you were going on a real safari, you would want linen clothing. That's what you would wear, all linen clothing, because it breathes with you. It doesn't, you can sweat in it. It doesn't grow bacteria. It doesn't get as stinky when you sweat in it. It has all of these wonderful properties for hot climates. If you lived in Africa, you would want linen. We still call sheets, towels, and blankets, we call them linens. You might go to a store, a department store, and they call it the linen department. And that's where they sell towels and sheets and blankets. Because it used to be that the finest linens, the finest of those products were all made of linen. Linen sheets. If you live in a very hot place, you would want linen sheets. You would maybe even sleep in linen. And you have a linen closet. How many of you have a linen closet at home? What do you put in that closet?
Our bath towels and
washcloths. Yes, towels, washcloths, extra sheets, even pillows and things like that. Those are your linens. Even though they're probably not made out of linen, we still call them linens, and that's why we have a linen closet and linen departments. Bamboo is the newest natural fiber. People are always looking to experiment with natural fibers. Who ever thought you could take a bamboo plant and make it into fabric? but it's been done. Bamboo, it's stripped into pieces. This is a stalk of bamboo tree, just like a stalk of wood you would cut off of a tree. And it's crushed into pulp, made into these fibers, which are combed and then carded, made into thread or yarn. It can be knitted, it can be woven into cloth. We have bamboo socks, we have bamboo garments, you can even buy bamboo blankets. And it's comfortable. Now we're going to get into synthetic fabrics. Synthetic means, what was it?
Man-made.
Artificial. Fake. It's artificial. It's man-made. And synthetics are nice because they're not wrinkly. But you sweat in synthetics, don't you? You sweat in synthetics. So there are pluses and minuses. Rayon is made from cellulose fibers from wood and cotton linters, the leftovers of the cotton plant, then with chemicals. In fact, the gasoline, the oil that you put in your car, comes from oil. The oil you put in your car is oil, and these products actually use oil. They use oil in this process, so they're very much man-made. Rayon is stronger than wool, but it's weaker than cotton, linen, or silk. And rayon, when it gets wet, is not very strong. Don't make a bathing suit out of rayon. Rayon wrinkles easily, and it shrinks easily. Polyester. What do you think polyester is made out of? It looks like that, doesn't it? Polyester is also made from oil products. It's made from a chemical formula. It's extremely strong. It's very resilient. It can be stretchy. The fibers can be stretchy. They're very, very smooth. It's wonderful to sew with. It doesn't wrinkle. It doesn't shrink. It doesn't fade. Cotton, if you make yourself a pair of cotton pants and you wash and dry them after you make the pants, you forgot to pre-shrink the fabric, and you go home and wash it, they might shrink 10%. So if your pants are 30 inches long, they might shrink 2.5 or 3 inches. How many of you have a tall mom or dad, and they buy their jeans that are 100% cotton, and after they're washed and dried, they're too short, right? Because they're made from cotton, and cotton shrinks. Well, polyester doesn't shrink, but nobody wants jeans made out of polyester. But it doesn't fade. It doesn't shrink. It doesn't wrinkle. It can be woven. It can be knit into garments, car seat covers, coats, blankets, anything you can think of. Synthetic blends. And here's where we come to the perfect fabric. If you're in a store and you're looking for a blouse, but you don't want to iron it. For example, all of your vests are we call it a 65-35 mix. It is 65% polyester, 35% cotton. It's the best of both worlds. Sometimes you might see 50-50. You can read the label and see what it is. If it is part polyester, part cotton, it has the best of both. It will breathe a little bit because it's cotton, but you don't have to iron it, because it has enough polyester that it is what we call permapress. So sometimes the best fabric is a blend of a synthetic and a natural fiber, cotton and polyester. Yarns are just thick threads, right? Yarns are knitted, they're crocheted, they're felted. Threads are woven or knit into woven and knit fabrics, or what we call cloth. Both knit and woven goods are important for us to understand and learn about. Weaving can be done by hand or machine. You can weave. How many of you have woven placemats, or you've woven a pot holder? Lily wove me a beautiful orange and brown pot holder, and it was so pretty I didn't want to get it dirty by putting a pot on it, so I hang it on the wall at Thanksgiving time because it's so pretty. And she wove it. It's only about 5x5, but it's beautiful, and she wove that. I don't know, using cardboard or something like that maybe. Most cloth is now made on these giant looms with automatic features that change the threads, weave the patterns, wind the finished textile right onto the cardboard bolts with people pushing buttons. However, if you go back in time, or you might even know someone with a loom. Do you know anyone who actually has a loom?
My sister does.
Your sister has a loom. It might be small, or is it big for making cloth? Oh, so that's nice and big. That's very big. This woman with her loom can make cloth for she and her daughters to cut. Then they can cut and sew it into garments. And here's the shuttle. Notice the shuttle in her hand. And the loom spreads the cloth apart. She throws the shuttle through, and then she spreads the threads apart the other way. Fabric is made with spools of thread. In the old days, thread spools were changed and arranged by hand, and women took these jobs. And they would run up and down the loom, changing the threads and tying on the new ones. This is an industrial size modern loom. People are still needed to change these threads, to color match the dye lots, to inspect the product, but that's about it. This loom is taking this product from thread to fabric where it's just going to be wound onto bolts. Weaving terms, and these are important terms. You should try and remember these two, the warp and the weft. Okay, the warp and the weft. These are terms you could use for the rest of your life. The weft is the crosswise thread. The weft is the crosswise thread. Yes?
I actually made something. It was like a little thing, and my baby sister likes it. She plays with it because I put like beads and little feathers in there, and she just likes playing.
Yes, and you can do that even on a piece of cardboard.
Yeah,
you could weave something. Yes, you can weave something small on cardboard. The warp is the lengthwise thread. Which one looks like a straighter thread? The warp or the weft? The warp. So when you pull the fabric by the length, it has very, very little give. When you pull the fabric by the weft, it gives a little because that part of the thread is a little looser. And so if you have cut fabric apart and you've lost track of which is the warp and which is the weft, because it matters when you lay your pattern pieces out, you can always pull. And the way that it does not give, that's the warp. Yes? Yes, and that's the warp and the weft. You could even label a sample and make it and remember that forever. On most cloth, this weft has a little bit of give because of the weaving pattern. This is a simple weaving pattern like something you might make at home with cardboard. It uses one thread in the following pattern. It goes over one thread, under one thread, over one thread, under one thread, and it goes each way. Under one, over one, under one, over one. That's a basic woven pattern, and it's very strong, it's very useful. Patterns and designs are often stamped onto simple woven cloth. This is a picture blown up. If it was all white and tiny, you could stamp patterns or something. This is a basket weave. This is two threads together. Do you see the pattern here? Two threads over, two threads under two. Two threads over two, two threads under two. Can you see the basket weave here? Two threads over two, two threads under two, two threads over two, two threads under two. It's a basket weave. Sometimes ladies' coats are made like that because it's kind of decorative. This is a twill weave. This is our most famous weave and probably the most important one. How many of you are wearing twills? It looks like every one of you are wearing twills. Some of us have blue jeans on. These are twills, and the others of you have twill khakis. This is a twill weave. Look at this weave. This is a very important weave for you as you grow up and become a woman and buy for your family. The twill goes under two, over two, under two, over two, but it's not like a basket weave, is it? Because then the next row starts one further. Does that make sense? So that it becomes a diagonal pattern. And this is a very strong weave. This basket weave is very decorative, but it is not strong. This twill is probably the strongest weave pattern. And that's why we use twill for denim. Slide 29, do you see the diagonal pattern here? It's going over two, under two, but then the very next thread starts at a different place, and it creates this diagonal pattern. These are all twills. Sometimes we call a pattern, your dad might have a sport coat that he says is herringbone. That is a twill weave created up and down, and it's all by the weave. This is what our jeans look like close up. This is what chambray is. If your dad has a chambray shirt, it is just a lighter fabric. Some of you, your pants might be chambray, but they are probably what we call chinos. And that's why we use that weave for work clothes and for play clothes. Twill means strength and comfort. You see the back of the jean? If you rolled up your jean pant leg, you could see the back because the white threads are completely hidden on the top almost, aren't they? And you see that diagonal pattern showing up because of the weave. Here's girls in denim. Why would we put little children in denim overalls? Overalls are made out of denim because it's hard to wear out. That happens to be Lily when she's a baby. So that's Lily about 10 years ago. Chino. Most of you in here, I notice, are wearing chino. The weave is a twill. Can you see the diagonal pattern running across? See the diagonal pattern? And this is what chinos look like. Women like chinos. It's made from a lighter yarn, so it's a lighter fabric, not so hot. Gingham. What is gingham? It's just the design woven into the cloth. There are pink threads and white threads woven in a pattern of alternating stripes, and that creates this check pattern. Poor quality gingham is simply a stamped pattern. If you look at the back, you can tell. If the back looks the same as the front, it's a true gingham, and that's the kind of gingham you want. If the back looks different, then it's not a real gingham. You also can stamp. Designs can be stamped onto fabric by hand or by a machine. These are stamped with a fork, a pencil eraser, and carved cork shapes with just fabric paint. You could stamp your own fabric. This is an all-over design, just stamped by a machine onto a solid white fabric. What about batik? Some of you were doing some designs with the pieces of cloth that you dipped into hot water. This is how we make a batik. The artist makes a design with the wax, and then she applies several coats of dye, and this is what she ends up with. This sample has been, the design was written with wax, then she bleached it. She could have done that in tea or grape juice or anything, and the grape juice will not adhere where the wax is. Then she melts the wax off in hot water. Corduroy. Corduroy is a weave where they have extra threads sticking up out of the top, and they trim them all off just like mowing a lawn. They trim them all off, and they go in rows, and that's what makes corduroy. Is corduroy strong, or does it get worn spots easy?
Worn spots easy.
It gets worn spots easy because these little threads can be worn right off. Some cloth is made by adding loops. What does this look like? A rug or a very thirsty towel. A good towel is made from loops. This would be what's used for corduroy velvet. For corduroy and velvet, they mow the top off like a little lawnmower. And for towels, they leave it in loops. Yes?
We have one of those.
Yes, lots of loops. Velvet, they've done the same thing. Here are the little loops, but they mow them off like a little lawnmower. So it's beautiful and it's soft, but it can wear easily because you can even sit there and pull the little threads out, can't you, from velvet and ruin it. Satin. Satin is shiny, dressy, beautiful, shiny. Here's a bride in her satin dress. This is Lily's mommy. A bride in her satin dress. It's very shiny, very special. But how do you create shine? Look how many threads we just jumped over. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Over 7 under 1. Over 7 under 1. Is that a strong fabric? No, you have all of those long threads. It's very easy to snag. It does make it very shiny. So is satin, that's why satin is reserved for formal wear and bridal. That's why we're not wearing satin today, because it doesn't wear well. What about lace? Lace is not woven. Did you know lace is either knitted or knotted? And it's created with patterns of knots. This is a handmade lace, and you can still make it by hand. These are lace bobbins, and you can still make lace by tying all of these little strings into little knots, and because it's time consuming, it's expensive. This is a lace factory. Inexpensive laces are flat and have just overall designs made out of nylon. I'm going to guess most of you are going to be brides eventually, and you might decide to choose a shifley lace. This is a fine netting or a fine sheer organza, and the flowers are embroidered onto it, which makes a beautiful lace. So it's only for formal wear. This is a cotton lace. It's more durable, a little heavier duty. It will wash and dry. They're a little less expensive. They're actually quite inexpensive. This is your most expensive lace. Yes? Yes, can you imagine embroidering all over net or sheer fabric for an entire dress? would be a lot of work. This is called re-embroidered lace. You take a flat lace and they lay a little cord across it and they sew on top of the cord so that it has this raised design. This is very expensive lace, and that's why it's reserved only for bridal gowns. This is it's called Alençon lace. It's named after the place in France where it's made, Alençon, France, where lace making originated. It's re-embroidered fabric. It's either a sheer fabric or net, and then it's re-embroidered, and you can cut right along the edge. You don't have to hem it. You don't have to. The selvage edges even are beautiful and scalloped. This is what we mean when we say woven. Threads are woven together. This is what we say when something is knit. Look at that yarn. A knit textile is something that instead of having a warp and a weft, you have one long yarn that gets looped over and over and over by itself, just like what your mom does with knitting needles or with a crochet hook, but it's done with tiny fabric fibers on a machine. But if you accidentally put a hole in that fabric, what happens? You get a big hole when you have a knit because it's one little thread and it just keeps unraveling. Did you have a question? Yes, so when you're crocheting, it's almost a knitting type. It's very flexible, isn't it? Yes.
Well, one time we had this laundry basket and it had a hole in it, and my sister was playing with it, and it opened up in the hole, and one side of the laundry basket was just ripped up.
Knit items, if you pull on them, the hole will get bigger.
What are those pictures?
These? This is a shirt, and that's where they sewed the tag on. I always look at a t-shirt and look at where the tag is sewn to see if they've put a hole. Have you ever bought a pair of socks and they came with a hole in them because they punched the price tag through your knit item and broke a thread, and then you have a hole the first time it's washed? You knit, so you know what that means. And this is where a pocket is sewn on, which is another place we get holes. Knitting, most of us wear a lot of knits. It's made on giant knitting machines now with tiny thread. This is the most common thing. This is what our t-shirts are made of. They're nice and stretchy and comfortable. This is Lily with her sister and her cousins, and they're all wearing t-shirt knits. All knits are alike, whether it's you knitting, whether it's you knitting with yarn or a knit t-shirt, this is a close-up of a knit t-shirt. Now you can use what you know about textiles for the rest of your life, and especially when you may become a bride someday and you have to start choosing fabrics for things. We're going to make posters. We're going to make textile posters, and we'll leave this picture up. This is your title. This is your title. The synthetic fibers that we learned about tonight are polyester and rayon, correct? We learned about those synthetic fibers. What natural fibers did we learn about?
Bamboo.
Bamboo.
Wool. Cotton. Silk. And
what else did we learn about?
Lace.
How do you make lace?
Knots.
Knots. Or embroidery. And why is satin so beautiful but not very durable?
Because it's got long lines and then it goes over.
Yes, for example, over 7, under 1, over 7, under 1. So it's very shiny, but it doesn't wear very well at all. And how do we make batik? Some of you did some batik. You dyed the yarns. One of you used color crayons. Who used color crayons? And that prevented the dye from soaking into your design, didn't it? That's what batik is. And you can do that with tea or jello or anything. Synthetic fibers, polyester, nice and thin and slippery. A synthetic blend. This is a permapress. We have a permapress sample. We have a knit sample, like a knit t-shirt. And we have a twill, which most of us wear it. And twill, the most common twill fabric is?
Jeans.
Denim, yes, denim. Okay, let's get our materials out and make our posters.